Pastor did a series. The pastor's done a session on or a message on the innkeeper. And then Brother Troy did a message on the angels. And then Pastor did a message last Sunday on... I'm just waiting to see how many remember. Anyway, I have this morning the opportunity to share about the shepherds. Boy, this has been an interesting journey for me. It really has. I had to pay attention to what I was reading and try and understand who they were and why they're there. But anyway, we praise the Lord for His goodness. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, the scripture says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Now you're thinking, what in the world does that have to do with the shepherds? Well, it has something to do with the shepherds. And let's see if we can think about that for a minute. So if you have your Bibles this morning, let's turn to the book of Luke. And chapter 2, the passage regarding the birth of Christ. And I think everyone in the last three, we've heard this the last three Sundays. But nonetheless, here we go again. Chapter 2 of the book of Luke, beginning at verse 8. "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid." Sore, you can translate that to be very, very afraid. "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you this is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe in the manger. And when they had seen it, they made known about abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things, and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them." So some questions for you this morning. You don't mind if we have a question and answer session, do you, this morning? I enjoy question and answer sessions when I get to ask the questions, you see. So why did God announce the coming of the Son of God to the shepherds? Why not to the king? Why not to the priests? Why not to who? So why to the shepherds? Anybody want to have a go at that this morning? Ma'am. You have answered, yes, ma'am. They were considered at that point in time. Shepherd herding or being a shepherd was considered to be the lowest of occupations. It wasn't always that way. We read of in earlier times how the king's children and professional or well-known, well-to-do people's children looked after the flocks. But coming down through the years, well, that's the way it turned out. So we have, but still, why to the shepherds? Why to this? Why to these people who were the lowest of the low, so to speak, in their, as when you're thinking of an occupation? You don't count, Troy. We're. So let's just leave that for a minute. So then, how many of the shepherds were there? You don't count either, Pastor. Well, there was more than one. That's a fact, because the Bible says that they what? They considered among themselves, so that means there was more than one. How many were there? Well, God has chosen not to tell us how many there were, but we know that there were at least two. I'm of the opinion there were more than two, but nonetheless, we don't know, and we can only speculate. So how far to see the baby Jesus? Where were they? They were in a field somewhere, in a paddock somewhere. So how far did they have to travel to Bethlehem to see this newborn babe? And we assume that it was not all that far, because they made it there and back without in pretty good time. So have we stirred your interest? Or are you thinking about the shepherds now? Are there different kinds of shepherds? I mean, sheep shepherds. Are there different kinds of sheep shepherds? Does that make any sense? Well, we often see, not often, but if you Google it, and I've learned how to use my phone to Google things. If you Google it, you'll find that there are several different types of shepherds. There are those who, and still today, there are those who are leading their flocks around the country in the Middle East, looking for food for their flock. Of course, they need water also, so you need somewhere where they can get a drink and, of course, food. Now, there is some consideration, or some folk who think that these shepherds might have been those who were looking after lambs that were being held for the temple sacrifice. And if that was so, then they're a little different kind of shepherd than those that would be out in a paddock with their sheep, wherever that might have been. So if they were the temple lambs, that would make sense, in that they would be holding the lambs looking after the lambs for the temple, because the temple was only how far from Bethlehem? You don't count, Pastor. How far is Bethlehem from Jerusalem? Anyone have that distance? I know you studied up on this, so you would know, you see. In the old system, it's 5 miles. That translates into how many kilometers? Eight plus a bit, probably nine. So let's think a bit about another matter. Let me, if you will, bear with me a minute here, and we'll go to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. This is when they had finished the original temple. Solomon got to build the temple. And in chapter 7 of 2 Chronicles, it says, "Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord, because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshipped and praised the Lord, saying, 'For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever.'" I love that phrase, "for his mercy endureth forever." If it hadn't endured for you and me, we'd be in real trouble. Then notice verse 4. "Then the king and all the people offered sacrifices before the Lord." And verse 5 will blow you away. Are you ready? "And the king and King Solomon offered a sacrifice of 22,000 oxen." Can you get your head around that number? 22,000 2,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep. Can you fathom this? I mean, how big a paddock did it take just to hold those? I mean, that is huge. Now, just to put it in perspective, the photos you see of Israel today and in the Middle East, you see often see barren land and sparse vegetation. That was not the way it was at this point in time. And it was not that way when the children of Israel entered into the promised land. It was not that way when they got to Kadesh Barnea originally, when they came out of Egypt and got to Kadesh Barnea, and they sent in the 12 spies, 10 of the spies, or 2 of the spies said, the land is what? The land is flowing with milk and honey. It is a beautiful land. And it was. There was vegetation, plenty of vegetation. And so when Abraham and Lot were there, there was plenty of food for their flocks. So it's a different, when you picture Palestine, when you picture Israel, you can't picture as it is today, because it's under the curse of God for the Israelites not obeying what God wanted them to do. And he said, if you don't do what I ask you to do, what I tell you to do, then your land is going to suffer. And it has, and it is. But in that day, there was plenty of food, plenty of forage for the animals. So you think about this 120,000 sheep. I can't get my head around that, to be quite honest. That's a paddock full of sheep that you just can't imagine. But that's the offering that Solomon made when they dedicated the temple. So to put that into perspective, why are we sharing about that? Because the land was able to carry a huge number of animals. And so even in Jesus' day, when Jesus was born, there were plenty of animals, plenty of lambs for the offering at the temple. So were these shepherds watching temple lambs? Perhaps they were. God has chosen not to tell us, and that's fine. So the shepherds, were there shepherds in the early days? Well, Elijah said, everybody's wanting to know how you're going to get shepherds out of Genesis. Well, in chapter 3, when Adam and Eve sinned, what did God do? They made for themselves coverings of what? Fig leaves. But God said, no, 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 no. The wages of sin is what? And so he demonstrated to Adam and Eve, illustrated to Adam and Eve way back there in chapter 3, that there has to be death for sin. So from the time of Adam and Eve until Jesus Christ, 4,000 years later, there were animals that died by the thousands, by the millions, as a picture of the fact that sin, the consequences of sin, is always death. It is, it has been, it is, and it will be. So the consequences of sin, so God said to Adam and Eve, no, 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 no. The fig leaves are not good enough. That says your own works. No, no, no. You're never going to get to heaven on your own works. You're never going to satisfy me with your own works. There has to be a covering. There has to be death. And so there was blood shed, and God made for them coats of what? Skins. Animals had to die. In chapter 4, we have the story of Abel. And Abel brought his offering, and he offered what? The first fruit of his flock. So way back in Genesis, there were shepherds. Abel was a shepherd. You get it? Now you wondered how I was going to get a shepherd out of Genesis. There it is. Abel had to be a shepherd because he brought the first fruits of his flock. Now my time is half gone and I've only got through the introduction. So sin always produces barrenness, by the way. The land became barren. People become barren. Where is the joy and the confidence in knowing? And I might add here that Christmas time is the worst time for lots of people. There are more suicides and more loneliness at Christmas time, they say, than at any other time of the year. Well, if you know where you came from, why you're here, and where you're going, there need be no loneliness. Let's talk about Mary and Joseph for a minute, and I know Pastor's already covered this, so you'll remember all he said, and we can do this real quick, okay? Who can tell me how far it is from Nazareth to Bethlehem? I honestly did not know. I knew it took them some time, but I didn't know, and I should have known. So I Googled it, of course. It's 150 Ks. Now, ladies, all of you who have carried a child know the challenge of being almost full term and traveling 150 Ks. You know how far that is? It's as far as from Cairns to Cardwell. Can you fathom this? I struggle. I really do. I think Mary must have said, can we stop? Can we rest? Was she used to riding on a donkey? I think not. Any of those of you who have ridden a horse and then haven't ridden for a while and then you ride again, you know the consequence. Google says it takes 31 hours in a good stiff walk. They got to the inn. And I reckon Joseph said, we'll have a bed, Mary. But there's no room in the inn. And the Son of God, who left the throne room of heaven. When I get to heaven, I want to talk to some of the angels. I want to find out if when they found out that Jesus is leaving heaven, if they got up a petition to the Father. Did they say to the Father, did a group of them go to the throne and say, Father, surely not. Surely not. You're not going to send him down there to them. Can we do a great angel chorus before he goes? I mean, I don't know. But I reckon the angels would have wanted to say goodbye before he left. So here we have the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We have the Son of God being born in a stable. The interesting thing is that 9 kilometers away was the temple, was all that God had given to the Jews. He said, make sure you do the sacrifice. Here's Solomon offering the burnt sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord had come down and filled the temple. course, it wasn't that way anymore. But all of the practices for the law and for the keeping of the law were there. The priests were there. The temple was there. Everything was there. Why not Jerusalem? Why not Jerusalem rather than Bethlehem? That's where the king should have come. But no, it's going to be Bethlehem. Because Joseph and Mary both were from the house of David. And the Roman governor had said, "We want your taxes, and you got to pay, and you got to travel to the town of your ancestors' birthplace." Where would that lead you today? Some of us would have a long journey. And so it was with Mary and Joseph. They had a long journey, and that day, that was a long journey. But they made it. They made it. I don't know about you, but I get all emotional when I think about Mary riding that donkey for all that distance. I get all emotional when I think when the angel appeared to her and said, "Mary, we have a job for you." And Mary said, "So be it. Whatever you want, whatever God wants of me, you may have." Oh, if we only had that kind of an attitude today. Why not Jerusalem? Well, let's look at Matthew. Matthew chapter 21. I'll read just a bit of it for you. This is a parable of the vineyard that Jesus gave. Here another parable. There was a certain householder which planted the vineyard and hedged it about, round about, and digged a wine press in it, and built a tower, and let it out to husbandmen, and went into a far country. And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen, and that they might receive the fruits of it. And the husbandmen took his servants, and beat one, and killed another, and stoned another. And you know the story. He finally sent his son. Said, "Well, surely they'll treat him with respect." But the husbandmen, when they saw him, they said, "Oh, his son, if we kill him, we'll have this. It'll be ours then." And we go on in that, and we follow the parable. And when the chief priests and the Pharisees heard this parable, they perceived he had spake of them, that he spake of them. I thought that's good perception. The Jewish people had killed and stoned the prophets, just like this husbandman, the husbandman had done. So God said, "Well, I'm not going to send my son to you. I can't trust you." And I wonder if there are those of us here today whom God said, "I can't do this for you because I can't trust you with it." There's a parallel there. So why the shepherds? Well, the shepherds gladly received the news, did they not? The shepherds gladly received the news, and they immediately consulted among themselves to say, "Okay, let's go see what's going on. Let's see how this happened." And so they did. They went to see and found Mary and Joseph and the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. And I appreciate the shepherds. They didn't keep it to themselves. Good news needs to be shared. And this certainly was good news. It's interesting that they knew, the angel did not say that this was Bethlehem. He said this is the house of David, or the city of David. And the shepherds knew, so they had some knowledge about ancestry and and had some knowledge of God's word. Anyway, they went and gladly went and shared the good news with anyone who would listen. Basically, that's my understanding of what the scripture says. Anyone, after they were there, anyone who would listen, they spread it abroad. They told everybody. Now we want to finish with John chapter 10. This is the story of the Good Shepherd. Verily, verily, I say unto you, this is John chapter 10, verse 1 through 18. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. It's an interesting thing here that Jesus says, the porter openeth. It might give us some information about the shepherds when they were keeping the sheep. The shepherds to whom the angels appeared, did they have a large enclosure where the sheep were gathered, where the lambs and the sheep were gathered, so that they could actually leave and go and find the babe? So the sheep hear his, the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name. I've been listening to an old-time preacher, and he says that when the rapture takes place, he believes that all of us who are going to be raptured will hear our names being called. And I think, wouldn't that be good? Can God do that? Can God do that?
Yes.
Why? Because he knows his sheep and he calls them by name. Woo, yeah. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep do what? Follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. That's some very interesting information. If we had a day or two to talk about it, it'd be good. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then Jesus said unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Don't forget it, people. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, which them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Now, the good shepherd says that he's laid down his life for the sheep, and he has. 4,000 years after Adam and Eve sinned, Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary to pay the penalty for that sin, for their sin, and for all of humanity. For everyone from Adam and Eve to now are sinners, born with a sin nature. And so because of that, Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary to pay the penalty for our sin. So he is the good shepherd that gives his life for the sheep. He is also the great shepherd. The great shepherd is the one who cares for his sheep. I was reminded of the song the hymnist who wrote the poem wrote, "Does Jesus care? Oh, does Jesus care?" You better believe he cares. When my heart is lonely and my heart is broken, does Jesus care? Yes, he does. Why? Because he is the great shepherd, the one who not only died for the sheep, but the one who is caring for the sheep. So he could say, "I am the door," because he died. He made the way that we can come to God. So he is the door, but he's also the great shepherd, the one who is there to provide for us, like the scriptures say he will. Paul, writing to the Philippians, says, "My God shall supply how much of your need? All of your need." So he is a great shepherd. He's going to lead us in pastures where? And this portion corresponds to Psalm 23. We ought to read it together, should we? Let's do that. You find Psalm 23 in your Bible? You ready? You want to stand up to do this?
Yep.
Okay, let's stand up. Everybody have it? Here we go. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." If that doesn't warm your soul, you need to get some dry wood so you can build a good fire. No. You want to sit down again, thank you. The great shepherd who cares for his sheep. And then the chief shepherd. He's coming again. He's coming again to reward, provide the rewards for which he has said he will do. So we have the good shepherd who gave his life. We have the great shepherd who cares for his sheep. And we have the chief shepherd who is coming in glory to give crowns and rewards. Hallelujah. I'm looking forward to the day. Now I wonder, if there are sheep here this morning, I was born and raised on a dairy farm, but my dad always had a flock of sheep. And I heard him answer several times why he kept those sheep. He said, "Well, the Bible talks about sheep, and it tells us much about how sheep and people have lots of things in common." So we always had a flock of sheep. And yes, we didn't lead them anywhere because we had a paddock that was fenced. Of course, they would find a hole if they looked, and they would find a hole. You think you could ever get them back through that hole? Not in your life. I mean, they're totally blind to that hole when they're coming the other way. I have some good memories of looking after the sheep, caring for the sheep, feeding the sheep. We lived not all that far from New York City, and so we tried to have our lambs early and raise them nice, big, and fat. And they would be the first ones to go, or they'd be with the first ones that would go to New York for the Jewish feasts. At one time, there were more Jews that lived in New York City than anywhere else in the world. So our lambs would bring top dollar. So Dad was always keen to sell the lambs. And I confess that we never ate lamb. It was too expensive. It really was. I've been thinking about this, and I'm thinking, is the shepherd saying, "Sheep, where are you, sheep? Are you following, sheep? Are you willing to follow? Or do we go our own way? Are we one of those who think we can do it on our own? Who think that the path we have chosen is better than the path our chief shepherd has chosen? Are we one of those who say, I can do it better? And I think that's what the chief priests and the Sadducees and the Pharisees of Christ's day were saying. We can do this better. We can add a bit to the law and make it better than God gave it to us. We can do this better than He said it should be done. Be careful, people. Be very careful. It's so easy to add to what God has said. And all of us know of isms and schisms and denominations that add to what God has said. Be careful. Are we deviating? The shepherd's going here and we're going over here. Is that the way it is? The Bible says that my sheep hear my voice. Are we listening? And are we following? I was kidding with Pastor. I said, I ought to do that poem again. Now that I've memorized it, you know, I ought to do it again. You know, you memorize it, you have it. You know, it seems like a waste not to share it again. But I won't. But I do have a poem for you. There were 99 that safely lay in the shelter of the fold, but one was out on the hills away, far off from the gates of gold, away on the mountains wild and bare, away from the tender shepherd's care. Lord, Thou hast here Thy 99. Are they not enough for Thee? But the shepherd made answer, this of mine has wandered away from me. And although the road be rough and steep, I go to the desert to find my sheep. But none of the ransomed ever knew how deep were the waters crossed, nor how dark was the night the Lord passed through, ere He found His sheep that was lost. Out in the desert He heard its cry, sick and helpless and ready to die. Lord, whence are those blood drops all the way that mark out that mountain track? They were shed for one who had gone astray, ere the shepherd could bring him back. Lord, whence are Thy hands so rent and torn? They are pierced tonight by many a thorn. And all through the mountains thunder riven, and up from the rocky steep, there arose a glad cry to the gate of heaven. Rejoice, for I found my sheep. And the angels echoed around the throne, rejoice, where the Lord brings back his own.